Welcome to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a show lovingly intended for millions of spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people like you who may at times be led into ego stupidity, a lesser version of yourself, and a lesser version of life. This show will give you a much deeper understanding of what ego is, what it's doing to your life, how it can weaken your human and spiritual wellness, and how you can heal in each of these areas if needed. It's Your Ego, Stupid, will heighten your awareness of the intense link between your ego and spirit, your humanity and divinity, and the synergy that can lead to the best version of you and your life. Your host is Dr. Nick Martin, a licensed psychologist who has worked in the clinical, university, school, and private practice settings over the past 40 years, while serving as a therapist, diagnostician, educator, and consultant. Welcome again to It's Your Ego, Stupid, and now your host, Dr. Nick Martin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Nick Martin, and I want to thank you for listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. As the intro said, this is a program lovingly intended for spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people, just like you and me, who may at times be led by our ego into something I call ego stupidity, a lesser version of ourselves, and a lesser version of life. Ego stupidity that can be affecting the relationship with our husband, wife, or partner, perhaps our son or daughter, maybe our brother or sister, and even with ourselves. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult for us to achieve, to climb the net ladder of success, and to experience a sense of purpose and meaning to our life, something that many people are wrestling with. Also, ego stupidity that can make it difficult to deal effectively with the inevitable change, adversity, stress, or conflicts that happen in all of our lives. And finally, ego stupidity that can make it difficult to feel and experience genuine happiness, while often leading us into unneeded or inappropriate anxiety, anger, sadness, or something I call fake happiness, often used as a substitute for the real thing. If things aren't going well, or perhaps as well as you'd like, you've come to the right place, because a lot of what's going wrong in our lives has much to do with our ego energy, which is serving as the fuel for the ego stupidity playing out within our life, playing out in our thoughts or feelings or behaviors. It's often the unseen and the unrecognized source of what's going wrong in our life, both humanly and spiritually. And by the way, our difficulties have a lot less to do with how smart we are, how spiritual we are, or the presence of a significant mental illness. These are lessons that I've learned from thousands of people, just like you, over the past 40 years. You've taught me with your lives, and your relationships, and your experiences, that unhealthy ego energy is at the root of the stupidity that often plays out in many important areas of life, such as what I just mentioned at the beginning, and that are affecting our human wellness. Not any theorist, or any books, or school of psychology. You are the ones who have taught me what they could not teach me. And by the way, you've also taught me a lot about ego's effect on our spiritual wellness and how it can impact our ability to be the love, the life, and the energy God is in our daily lives, as well as our ability to embrace the four divine gifts of our life, the ability to create our own life, our eternal life, and God's presence within us. These are gifts that everyone who has ever lived have been given, but may not be fully recognized, if at all, due to the nature of one's ego energy. It's a brand new day, and the days of living in the darkness and the ignorance of what ego is doing to our lives, both humanly and spiritually, are over. my programs will be looking at the vital connection between our ego and spirit, our humanity and our divinity, and the link between our human and spiritual consciousness. They are intended to shine lots of light on all of this. Again, I want to thank you for joining me for today's program, which is going to have us looking at the diversity of ego energy, and more specifically, what I am talking about involving ego power, ego flexibility, and ego vulnerability. Now, before I get to that, I just want to briefly remind you that last week I shared 10 insights about ego, with three of them including that everyone has an ego. You have an ego, I have an ego, your family members, your other loved ones, strangers, everybody has an ego. Also, I shared with you that your ego has an ultimately positive purpose, which is to promote our daily and mortal survival. So this energy rooted in our being is ultimately a positive thing. Now, there are times, as we will be talking about, when this energy becomes imbalanced and leads to difficulty, suffering, and what I call ego stupidity. But ultimately, your ego energy has a positive purpose within your life. And also, I talked about the diversity of ego energy comprised of power, flexibility, and vulnerability. So we're going to begin with the question involving that third insight. What do I mean when I say ego is a diverse energy? Well, most of the time when people talk about or they think about ego, they connect it to something having to do with how much they're willing to exert or influence, control, or exert control in their life, which is something I call ego power. This is something I briefly made reference to last week. But this is really only part of the story about the energy of ego, because later I am going to be talking about ego flexibility and ego vulnerability. But for now, our focus will be on ego power. Our ego power involves the amount of our need for influence, and it's often revealed in many important life areas, such as relationships, or how we go about dealing with stress, how we confront adversity or deal with conflict, as well as our efforts to feel happy. My ego power, your ego power, their ego power involves many of the choices or the decisions that we constantly make within our life, both the large ones and the small ones. For example, frequently people may get into petty arguments about small stuff, seemingly meaningless stuff. But the more often they happen, the more they are reflecting issues involving ego power. And people have taught me that we can differ in the amount of the ego power we're willing to exert in these different areas of life. Again, relationships and dealing with conflict and dealing with adversity and so on, in either healthy or less healthy or non-healthy ways. And I refer to this as the volume level of our ego power. You may recall last week I talked about a volume range, and as a way to kind of connecting up with what I'm sharing with you, calling the amount of ego power, ego vulnerability, or ego flexibility. And this range runs from the very bottom end, a low level of any of those energy areas, a zero or a one, moving upward through the range into the healthier portions of four, five, or six, and then also getting to the top end where people have a high degree of ego power, flexibility, or vulnerability, a nine or a 10. When ego power is healthy and it's balanced, their volume level tends to run toward the middle of the range. It's a four, five, or six. And when we're in that range of ego power, we can recognize our need to share control with others and with life in all those important areas. We can understand the importance of communication that shares the influence, that we can talk and we can listen, or that we can work with compromise in trying to get to answers to situations where different needs may be involved. That's an example or reflection of healthy ego power energy at work. And so we get to this place, we understand the importance of sharing control. And we also, when we're in this healthy area, can recognize the unhealthiness of taking too much or too little control over what's going on in our lives. We are, in a way, able to listen to ourselves, and we can listen to spirit when that's needed. There really isn't any need for ego healing involving this contributor to our ego energy because it's balanced. But when our ego energy is starting to become unhealthy and it's becoming imbalanced, it can shift into becoming lower or higher. It's getting into the lower or higher volume areas, and the lower and the higher it becomes, the greater the difficulty we have handling important areas of life, and the greater the amount of ego stupidity that starts to show up in our thoughts and our feelings and behaviors. And I will be giving you lots of examples of these as we go along. Now, those at the lower end of the ego power range, a person who has a zero or a one, these are people who often have difficulty exerting control over their life. They can often act as if they are helpless, which shows up in those important areas. So they display lots of disempowerment in their life. There's a very helpless quality, and perhaps maybe you're one of them or somebody you know is one of them. In my book, The Two Voices Within, I talk about roles that people live in their lives unknowingly, but they do, which is the roles such as the dependent person, the person who needs to lean upon others to make decisions for them because they don't trust themselves to make those same decisions. The depressive person, the person who may be the masochist, the person who has a belief that they need to suffer within their life, those who may be the victim, as well as those who may be the underachiever, the person who often expects less out of their ability rather than more, the person who may be telling themselves, I really can only fail, I really cannot succeed. And these are examples of people who are listening very much to their ego, but they don't know it, and very little to themselves or spirit. And this can often make a person difficult or make them stupid in the way they're going about living their lives. So their ego healing is going to involve increasing their ego power with something I refer to as ego medicine. Now, if we shift to the other end of the range, up the top end, people with a higher level of or a high level of ego power, people in the 9 to 10 range, these are people who are often consumed with having control over themselves, over others, and over life. So this could be a person who has who's very difficult to be in a relationship with him because they make so much of an effort to control others, including their husband or wife or their partner. Their ego volume level is very high, and they often act as if they are over empowered. Some reflections of this: they are very domineering. And as I said, this shows up in many parts of their life. When it comes to communication with people, it's usually one-way communication. I'm talking, and you need to listen. These people, on the other hand, have very difficult time listening to other people. When it comes to something like compromise, these are people who are very uncompromising because they often think they have the best ideas or the right ideas and that everybody else's are secondary to their own. And there are lots of other things that start to show up in how they go about interacting with people, those that are closest to them or those who may be at more of a distance. In my book, The Two Voices Within, I talk about people who start to live in this role, people who may be the dictator, are those who are the narcissist. The narcissist is somebody who is often in love with themselves, and they want other people to be in love with them. And the love that they're wanting is often just a form of empowerment that they want to experience. There are people who are the ultra competitor, the person who is the win at all costs person. They have to control the situation by winning at all costs. They could be the type A personality that you might be familiar with. Failure is not an option for these people, and they often treat competitors as enemies that they have to vanquish. Some people are the control freak who need to control everything that's going on within their lives, and including the people within them, and also people who are the bully. Again, I talk about and I channel the voices of ego and spirit within the book, The Two Voices Within. People with higher ego power, their ego healing is going to involve ego medicine intended to help them with this. Before we go to our first break, I want to ask you to ask yourself, what's the volume level on your ego power? You don't know yet? Well, that's not unusual. It can take some time because our ego can do a very good job of hiding from us when we don't know truly what it is. And that's what my programs and my books and the website egoandspirit.info are all about, helping you with that, tuning into your ego energy, which is part of ego medicine. This is Dr. Nick. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, and I'll see you after the break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Hi, Dr. Nick Martin here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page where you can find each of my other books, Ego Therapy, Ego Spiritualism, and The Two Voices Within.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people, just like you and me. Before the break, we were talking about ego power, which is one of the three main contributors to our ego energy. We're going to go on and talk about two more, those being ego flexibility and ego vulnerability. We have to understand them as well as ego power in order to get a better understanding of ourselves and each other. Otherwise, we're going to have a very shallow and a very superficial and a very limited understanding of the ego energy that is fueling our lives and can have us focusing more on surviving rather than living. which is something that many people are doing when they are settling for less out of what life has to offer them. So now we're going to start talking a little bit about ego flexibility. Our ego flexibility involves how much and how well that we're able to seek truth in an effort to promote our survival and our living. It's how insistent you are and I am and others are to be connected to and live in reality. Sounds somewhat easy, maybe? Well, maybe not as easy as you think. When our ego flexibility is balanced, we can recognize the difference between belief and truth. We can understand that just because we think something or we believe something, that doesn't necessarily make it truth. And we have a healthy ability to recognize and respect the potential differences that exist in this area. And if we're able to do that, our ego flexibility is toward the middle of the volume range. You're a 4, 5, or 6. So you might want to ask yourself as we go along, how healthy of a respect do you have for the possibility that you don't know the truth, or at least all of it, yet? This is a good thing for people to have in their ego functioning, a healthy respect for what they don't know. This is something that people are able to, when they are able to update their mind with truth, upgrade their mind with truth, the ego mind, if you will. And we're able to do this both from within ourselves and perhaps from without. We can look at other resources to help teach us, to help us better understand and to know the truth that we do not yet know. This can be sort of like having an open mind. When people have an open mind about things, they're willing to learn new things. One of probably the most healthiest things for any human being to be is a lifelong learner, realizing that no matter how long we live, we're never going to learn everything. And that's fine. That's a good thing to have that respect in order to do that. So when people have this healthy ego flexibility, we have a healthy respect for what we don't know yet, and we're willing to seek it. We want to get to know it. We have a thirst for it, so to speak. Another aspect of this healthiness is that we can learn and we can get rid of faulty beliefs or attitudes or values or prejudices or illusions that are not truthful or reality-based. So we can, in a way, delete them from our hard drive, the hard drive of our mind, our ego mind. So we're not only is it a matter of adding truthful things, but also a matter of getting rid of non-truthful things that enhances the quality of our ego mind. I refer to it in my books as our ego space. The term doesn't matter. It's just about the idea of things that are within our mind. Now, this is something that I have found that is very difficult for many people, and we're going to hit that when we go into lower and higher ego flexibility. But if our ego flexibility is balanced, there isn't any need for ego healing involving this component. Now, before I go ahead to talk a little bit about both low and high ego flexibility, I want to mention two really important questions that maybe you have. And if you don't have them, perhaps you should have them. And the first one is, well, why is this discussion of ego flexibility important? And another one might be, the question is, well, isn't truth a relative thing? Isn't it like beauty? It's in the eye of the beholder, and so it's very relative. And I'm going to answer both of these questions. The first one, why is ego flexibility or understanding ego flexibility is important? And the answer to that question begins with the understanding that your brain, no matter how miraculous a tool it is, and it's probably one of the most amazing tools that we have been given by evolution through the grace and love of God to have within our possession, so to speak, to be able to use it. But there's one inherent difficulty with our brain. It doesn't sort out fact from fiction. it doesn't sort out for us truth from non-truth, which means that we are the ones that has to do what our brain does not do. And that's why we have our ego energy, and in particular, the ego flexibility portion or contributor to that energy to help us go about doing that. Because, again, the brain is not going to do that for us. Now, the other question, your ego energy, as I just want to mention, is the source of your efforts to do that. And the quality of those efforts involves your ego flexibility. So we're really talking about the level of quality that you or I or others have in being able to enhance the quality of their mind with truth, something that is rooted in our ego flexibility. Now, the next question you might have, and I mentioned, was, isn't truth relative? And the answer I have for that is yes and no. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, Dr. Martin, you kind of copped out on that, right? And the answer is, no, I don't think I have. And the reason is that the no portion of the answer, that truth isn't truth relative, occurs when we're dealing with truth that involves a lot more agreement, commonality across people, and consensuality across people. And that's happening when our ego energy is healthy and it's balanced in its power, flexibility, and vulnerability, meaning that our truth and truth becomes less relative and becomes more agreeable, more consensual. Healthy people, egoically speaking, they think and they feel and they act towards things in similarly healthy ways, whether that involves how we act in relationships or how we should go about handling stress or dealing with conflict and many other places. When people have healthy ego energy, there's a lot of agreement. There's a lot of commonality. Now, in regards to the yes portion of that answer, meaning truth is relative and the answer being yes, well, that happens when we start to gain distance from the balance portion of the range, including our power, flexibility, or vulnerability. This is when our truth starts to get very relative to the thinker of the truth, and people start to get caught up in lots of faulty beliefs, values, attitudes, prejudices, and illusions. Then these are often masquerading as truth, but that person doesn't know it. They think it's truth. They don't know the difference between belief and truth, so they accept a belief as a truth. They accept that what they think is truth when it may not be. So, yes, truth is relative, and it becomes relative in many different ways depending on the nature of your ego energy when it's imbalanced in any of those areas. On the low end of the side or the high end of the side, yes, the relativity is there. Everything that people are in that situation are experiencing is happening that's causing them to get into what I would refer to as ego stupidity. This is where it kind of begins. Okay, going to go on now to talk about lower and higher ego flexibility. And when it's shifting, the lower or higher that is, the greater the difficulty we can have handling important areas of life, and the greater the amount of ego stupidity that we start to display in our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors. And again, this is where the relative nature of truth starts to happen, because we have a weakened ability to work with truth in dealing with many of those areas of life. Again, relationships, stress, conflict, change, adversity, and so on. When people have a lower degree of ego flexibility, their minds are starting to become too rigid and too inflexible. These are people who tend to think only inside the box. They have a real hard time thinking outside of the box. Their ego flexibility volume level is at a low, it's a very low level, a one or a zero. And the difference between belief and truth is very blurred. And they are not seeking to learn the difference. They think what they want to think, they believe what they want to believe, and all of it is presumed to be truth when it's not. And they often drift into believing that they know and own the truth. They sort of own the truth. Not just they think it, but they own it. That everybody has to, in a way, come around to knowing their version of the truth. One really good example of a person, a role a person was portrayed in, was in the show All in the Family, was Archie Bunker. Archie Bunker was a low ego flexibility person. He was a racist. He was a sexist. He was a homophobic person. And by the way, he was intelligent and he was a spiritual being, although he was getting distance from his spiritual wellness, and he was not mentally ill. But his ego energy was very much concentrated in the lower portion of ego flexibility. So there is this very rigid, stereotypical view of people. And he personified a lot of people in America who thought the same way at that time. People who didn't want to think differently about what was happening regarding the Vietnam War and the casualties and whether we should have been in that situation. He, you know, he challenged the ideas of the civil rights movement and challenged the ideas of the women's rights movement. There was a lot of ego flexibility, and many people identified with him, which in part made the show popular. Now, when people are living in that place, they often have a tremendous difficulty realizing that differentness does not mean deficiency. People with low ego flexibility equate difference with deficiency. They look down upon people who think differently in different ways. In my book, The Two Voices Within, I talk about roles that people often may start to live. The authoritarian, or the racist, as I mentioned before, the religious extremist who may have an intolerant view of alternative or different ways of believing in knowing God, the political extremist who may have a rigid and inflexible view on how people should be governed, some of which seems to be showing up collectively in this polarization in our country, failing to understand we need all views. We need all political approaches. We need Republicans and Democrats. We need conservatives and moderates and liberals to contribute to this process that makes America a wonderful place. The person who is the sexist is reflective of this, and also a person who is the paranoid. All of these individuals are living in a world where they tend to think about things in a very rigid way. And they're listening very much to their ego and very little to themselves or to spirit, but they don't know it. And their ego healing is going to involve increasing their ego flexibility with ego medicine. We now shift, before we go to break, to talking about the ego flexibility that is occurring when it gets into the higher or high end, the 9 or the 10. These are people whose minds are becoming too flexible. Yes, too flexible, because we shouldn't let everything in because it doesn't belong within our mind. And we can come to accept things as being true when they really aren't. A lot of faulty beliefs, attitudes, prejudices that get downloaded into our mind. This is not a good place for our mind to be. Because, again, we shouldn't believe everything we read or hear, or even from those who may be well-intentioned, who may present themselves as our friend. It can be family members and so on. There are just things that we need to screen out or filter out. But people with high ego flexibility often lean too much on others to acquire their ideas and their beliefs and their values. In short, they are trying to acquire somebody else's version of reality. Now, that often happened to us when we were kids, when we were children, because we weren't equipped to formulate our own ideas or understandings of truth. We needed to get them from our parents in most cases, and hopefully we had healthy parents who gave us a healthy version of reality, including who we are and what we are, as well as others. But this should not be happening when we are adults. People with higher ego flexibility, again, stop being themselves, and they start becoming like others. And they are at risk to take on the roles I talk about in The Two Voices Within. people who may become the cultist, who may succumb to an unquestioned leader, people who may be the adult child, the person who may be 25 going on 15. They just want somebody else to think for them, to decide for them, and so on. People who may be the loyalist, who profess to having undying loyalty toward a particular person, and also people who are the puppet, who do not want to think for themselves and want others to manipulate and to control them. These are people who are listening very much to their ego and very little to themselves or spirit, but they don't know it. So their ego healing is going to involve decreasing their ego flexibility with ego medicine. Again, before we go on, ask yourself, what is the volume level of your ego flexibility? You don't know yet? Well, again, that's to be expected because it takes some time to tune into who we are really being. And that's what my programs and the books and the website Ego and Spirit are all about, helping you with that. This is not something you have to do alone. I don't even know if it's something you can do alone. But we're going to work with you through those media to tune into your ego energy, which is part of ego medicine. We're coming up on our second break. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, Dr. Nick here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego, and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page where you can find focused ego meditations that can help you know whether you are truly speaking with your voice in your life or ego is speaking for you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people, just like you and me. As we go into this third part of our show today, we're going to look at the third contributor to ego medicine, or ego energy, which is ego vulnerability. Our ego vulnerability has to do with how well we can accept our human imperfection, and the inherent vulnerability and weakness that comes with our humanity and the nature of life. excuse me, think about that. Our ability to accept our human imperfection and the inherent vulnerability and weakness that comes with our humanity and the nature of life. This involves being able to healthily realize that we are imperfect people, often living in an imperfect world, and how we deal with that, how we work with that. When our ego vulnerability is healthy and it's balanced, we are in the middle of that volume range I've been referring to, and this is a place where we can recognize our weaknesses, and we can recognize our imperfections, and we can even celebrate them to some degree, and we can even grow from them. That's one of the things I enjoy about stand-up comedy. I go to a lot of comedy shows, stand-up comedy shows in Pittsburgh, the Improv in particular, and I just enjoy how our comedians, who I consider to be some of the great therapists in our society, who are able to humorously point out the imperfections of our human condition, and in some respects send the message, it's okay. It's okay to have those weaknesses. We can learn from them and we can grow from them, but we don't have to run away from them. We don't have to hide them. So I think of comedians like Bob Hope and Johnny Carson, from people in my generation to the more modern day comedians, Jimmy Fallon and or Robin Williams, or gee, there's a tremendous number of people who all have served our humanity through their gift of teaching us about our humanity with the use of humor. When our ego vulnerability is in this healthy place, we realize all the time that we can never really be a perfect human being. So we kind of let go of the need to be a perfect being within the human sense. And we can also recognize that in some respects, our perfection is within our imperfection. Our imperfection is the foundation often for great art, great music, great writing, great science, and comedy. All of that inspired by our imperfection, our human imperfection. We can also, when we're living in that energy, being that energy, if you will, we can also realize that our perfection resides in our divinity. If there is any perfection to be known, it's residing in our divinity. So when you or I or others are being in human form, the love, the life, and the energy God is within our thoughts and our words and our deeds, we are manifesting perfection. When the love we are being is unconditional, when it's connective, when it's unlimited and it's unburdened, that is the manifestation of perfection. When we are able to recognize the presence of God in all life forms, human and non-human, and we honor and we respect and we treat it in the way it deserves to be treated, we are manifesting perfection. And when we are guided by truth and understanding, by the light of truth and understanding, and can experience the healing and transformation available to us that was woven into the design of our being by 3 million years of evolution by God through the wisdom of the ages, we are manifesting that perfection. So when we are in that place, when we are in that energy, we are that 4, 5, or 6 person, there is no need to heal our ego energy, to heal our ego vulnerability when it's in balance, because we are a healthily imperfect human being. But when our ego vulnerability starts to get unhealthy and it starts to shift into being higher or lower in volume, the higher or the lower it becomes, the greater the difficulty we start to have handling important areas of life, and the greater the amount of ego stupidity that we start to display in our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors. When people are experiencing higher ego vulnerability, somebody I know quite well, that being me, we are often in conflict with our imperfection and our weaknesses, and we can get caught up in fighting it. We can get caught up in trying to deny it. We can get caught up in trying to hide it or being consumed by it. The volume level for this person on their ego vulnerability is a 9 or a 10. Again, somebody I am very familiar with, and when I say familiar, I'm talking about in my younger days as a perhaps a child and an adolescent, as a young adult person, I lived a lot of higher ego vulnerability energy, though at that time I had no idea exactly what that meant. And this particular difficulty with our ego vulnerability starts to play out in many important life areas. It starts to affect relationships, and it starts to affect how hard or how well we can achieve. It affects how we are affected by the adversities, the failures, the loss, the mistakes, and how we do or don't respond to them. How we deal with stress or not, perhaps allowing stress to manage us. Sometimes we can get caught up in some very stupid ways of trying to quell our fear that's often connected to our imperfection. Sometimes people make use of forms of addiction, alcohol or drugs or food or sex. These are often intended to distract or to distance us from our imperfection and vulnerability, at least temporarily. There are roles I talk about in the Two Voices Within that may occur that end up that we start to live when we are into this kind of an energy. Ask yourself if these are familiar to you. Some people are the perfectionist who are working very hard to be perfect, and particularly if they're trying to do it in many different areas. People who are really trying to hide their weaknesses and their imperfections from others. Often people can see them, but they don't realize they do see them. People who may be the overachiever, people who are working really hard to be successful and often making use of fear as the motivational fuel for their being successful rather than love. I'm kind of familiar with that. I remember experiencing a lot of fear-based motivation when I was younger. I used to be an athlete in track and field and cross country, was decent enough to get a scholarship to the University of Pittsburgh. But one of the things I remembered as a competitor was how I felt after I lost a race. And that feeling I often felt was guilt. I felt guilt. It was inappropriate guilt. It was unnecessary guilt, but it's what I felt because that was the energy that I was experiencing. Other people are trying to achieve because it reflects an effort to validate themselves, although they really don't need to do that, or to prove themselves worthy of approval by somebody else, something, again, which isn't necessary, but they are telling themselves is necessary, which is a non-reality-based way of looking at things. Some people are the high-maintenance person, the high-maintenance partner, who often want their partner to affirm them, to say that they aren't going to abandon them in some ways in order to feel more secure, to deal with their concerns about insecurity. Some people are the stressed-out person, the person who often, if they aren't upset about something or if they're not stressed out about something, we'll look for something to be stressed out about, because feeling non-stressed feels weird. It feels unusual. It doesn't feel like where they should be. And I'll just mention one more role, the traumatized person, the person who is their egoic energy is keeping them connected to the trauma that they had experienced in an effort to help them stop or not re-experience the same trauma event again. These are all reflective of that area. These are people of ego energy, which is in that high range. These are people who are listening very much to their ego, and again, listening little to themselves or spirit, but they don't know it. And their ego energy is going, or their ego healing is going to involve decreasing their ego vulnerability with the use of ego medicine. I'm now going to turn to the last area, the last ego energy imbalance area, as I would call it, people who are experiencing low ego vulnerability. And these are people who are often out of touch with their human vulnerability and imperfection. They are often living at a distance from any sense of weakness, any sense of imperfection. They genuinely don't feel any of that. It's not they're trying to fake it and pretend they don't have it when they have it. No, these are people who really don't think they have a weakness. And they often act as if they don't. They don't. Do you know anybody like that? Their volume level is 0-1. When people are into this kind of an energy, lower ego vulnerability, they often have difficulty experiencing many of the emotions that in healthy amounts, such as anger or fear or guilt, maybe sadness and love, which can draw attention to our imperfections and our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. And that's a good thing. Emotion was designed into our being to serve as warning symbols or signals to help us to see better what we're up to and what we need to work with and change to be a healthier human being. But these are persons who are having difficulty getting any of those signals. And if they don't get the signal, they don't think anything has to change. They can know themselves, hey, I'm an intelligent person. I'm a spiritual person. I am a non-mentally ill person. So really, what I'm thinking or believing or doing, it doesn't need to change. And this is difficulty. They have these difficulty with emotions, and this lacking a healthy sense of vulnerability often plays out in many areas of life, and particularly those involving relationships. This is a person who's really difficult to be in a relationship within, because there's almost like an emotional vacuum between their partner, their husband or wife, and them. And this person doesn't seem to see it or recognize that failing, that lack of emotion, particularly love, that people often need to experience between they and another person. They aren't good about that, and that makes it difficult to be in a relationship with them. Some of the roles I talk about in the ego, the two voices within, are the sociopath, perhaps the sadist, a person who can be the loner, a person who may be the hedonist, people who may be the logician, a person who looks at everything as being resolved or managed by the use of logic, and often may view emotion as sort of taking us away from our effectiveness, from our dealings with our weaknesses and imperfections. It kind of reminds me of Mr. Spock on Star Trek. You know, there was no place for emotion in how to address issues and problems. And then there's the inattentive person, the person who often ends up recklessly violating the rights and the needs of others because they just don't see them. They're not any emotional cues. So as we leave this particular area, asking yourself the question, how's the volume level on your ego vulnerability? Again, if you don't know that yet, that's why I'm here. It takes some time to tune into our ego energy and who we are really being, the energy we are truly being. And that's what my programs and books and website, egoandspirit.info, are all about, helping you with that, helping you to tune into your ego energy, which is the second contributor to ego medicine. We have reached the end of today's program. I hope what I've shared with you involving the diverse nature of ego energy can serve as a dose of ego medicine. Also, if what I have shared with you during this program resonates with you, please share it with others. My program next week is going to focus on myths and half-truths about ego, which can weaken our ability to understand it, to understand ourselves, and to understand what it's doing to our lives. I want to end today's program with this message. The great news is that working to heal your ego energy using ego medicine, and by growing your awareness of its symptoms, ego stupidity, insights, and spiritual impact, will allow the divine truth in your being to flow and to shine through you, and allow you to fully embrace each of the divine gifts. The spiritual part of healing is a given. It's a part of your endowment. Divine truth and divine gifts are part of your heritage that already exists within you. You need to do nothing more to be spiritual. You already are. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You only need to enhance your humanity with ego medicine so that all which is available to you is given. Fix your ego to fix your life, humanly and spiritually. I want to thank you for listening and allowing me to be your servant. I want you to have a great week, and please come back to my next program. In peace and love, this is Dr. Nick saying goodbye for now.